Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we come now to the second morning session and the second message on practicing the twos and the threes. And the title of this message is Beginning to Practice the Twos or Threes. Amen. So anyways, I don't know about you all, but I've just very much been enjoying this training and all the speaking that has been coming forth. And you know, yesterday in the sharing of the twos and threes, I felt like we got a lot of help, right? And we saw very much the importance and significance of the twos and threes, right? We saw that this is in the Bible, right? The biblical way for us to meet. We saw it's our way as Christians to go on, right? It's even normal just for us to be grouped together. And one thing that came out yesterday I was very much impressed with is that, you know, the twos and the threes are really the way to uphold and maintain everything that we've been getting into in this training, right? Consider if you were just to go home and you're on your own, right? It'd be very easy just to slip back into our old habits, you know, the old way of living, right? But if you have two or three with you who you've been companionized with, you have a strong way to go on. And we saw that in a lot of the examples we received yesterday. So anyways, today this message is just a progression on yesterday, and we want to build upon that. And again, we want to give you guys some practical handles of how do we begin to practice the twos and threes, okay? So let's just begin by reading Roman numeral 1 all together. The principle Okay, so we see the need, right? We need to be grouped together. But how can we be grouped together? Well, let's read Matthew 18:20, and let's read that all together. Matthew 18:20. Okay, you got it? Ready, set, go.
For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst.
Okay, so notice here, okay, we have the twos and we have the threes, right? And these ones have been gathered, right? Gathered, past tense. Okay, wow. So this leads us to the question, who is doing the gathering? Right? Are we gathering ourselves? No. Right? Actually, God is the one doing the gathering.
Amen.
He's gathering us together. Right? Okay, so this is the first thing we want to see in the twos and threes is that this is not something initiated by us. Right? This is very important that our twos and threes would be initiated by God. Okay? And, you know, God obviously has some chosen for us. He has some picked out for us, right? He's desiring to group us together. But how is it that we will come to know who these ones are? You know? How can we find out? Well, we need to come to the Lord in prayer, right? We first need to pray to the Lord to seek His heart, to find out who are these ones whom He would gather together, okay? And so, for sure God has some chosen by, chance. These are probably ones who are from your locality, who you're going to the same school with, maybe even one sitting next to you in this meeting, right? But we need to be the ones who come to the Lord to pray that the Lord would reveal what is on His heart concerning the twos and threes, and that He would reveal these ones to us, okay? And if this is something initiated by God, then we'll see a little later that the result is that this will be an eternal memorial to us, right? So maybe at this point it would be good to go ahead and read point A together. Amen. Bring me into contact with the one whom you choose. Amen. Okay, and then let's have sisters on point B. Amen. So, again, the twos and threes are initiated by God, and this initiation will be an eternal memorial to us. On the contrary, if we're the ones who initiate our grouping together, the best outcome or the best result would be just a good friendship, maybe, right? Because it was initiated by our natural preference, okay, the result will be natural. Okay, if it's initiated natural, the end result will be natural. But if the beginning or the initiation is spiritual, the end result will be spiritual. Amen. So, anyways, I was very much appreciating this message we just heard. You know, there's a need for us to be built up in the body. Amen. And the building takes place in spirit. There's no direct relationship between us as the members, right? It's all through the head. So first we need to contact the head. Right, to see who he would group us together with. And then, once there's something initiated by God, then we can begin to build something up amongst our twos and threes, right? So, I'll just give a personal testimony of my going on in the twos and threes that took place in my college years. So, when I was in college here at the University of Georgia, I was sitting somewhere on this half of the room, and a brother was sharing about the vital groups and the grouping together, the twos and threes, okay? And this point came out that this should be something initiated by God. So I believe we began to pray, actually just as a whole, as a group, and even individually. And then it was very interesting. I couldn't quite tell you how, but spontaneously out of that, I was grouped with three other brothers who were kind of sitting next to me. I think it was just one of these things we were praying to the Lord, and then we kind of looked to our left, looked to our right, and said, okay, amen. Let's just begin to practice, right? The twos and threes. So actually, we had a group of four. There was four of us total. And we didn't really quite know what we were doing, but we just knew we had a burden to enter into this practice, and we needed to start somewhere. So we decided that once a week we would come together and pray, and we decided we would pray for a whole hour. And initially I was thinking, wow, an hour, this is kind of ambitious, right? You know, that's kind of a long time. But the more we began to pray with one another, I just realized it was so easy to pray with these brothers. You know, initially it was kind of a struggle, but over time it became so easy, and that hour flew by very quickly. And we began initially just by opening up some burdens to one another, some things we were going through or struggling with, and we would just pray. And then we would just kind of go around and pray one after another. And anyways, it's my testimony that that was an eternal memorial to me. That was probably one of my highlights during my college years, is praying with these brothers. And now, when I see these brothers, it's so easy just to begin to pray with them, right? I feel very free just to call them up at any time, right? If I need someone to pray with, I know I can count on these brothers. And it was even a help for our going on then. It's a help for our going on now, right? Even though we, you know, we've gone our separate ways, but we're still, you know, serving in various capacities. It's very, very interesting. In college, You know, we were practicing praying with one another each week. And over the breaks, we would set up like a little conference call because we just wanted to continue even during the breaks. We didn't want to take a break from the Lord, right? So we continued to pray with one another. And then fast forward 6 years later, here we are. We're in the college training, and now I'm coordinating with one of these brothers who I prayed with, and there was a need for us to coordinate long distance. So we ended up using that same conference call with the same conference code, you know, that we used 6 years prior, and here we are. We're just praying. You know, we didn't really even have to say that much to one another when we heard each other's voice on the phone. You know, we just started praying right off the bat, you know. Anyways, this was so good, just kind of a personal testimony of the twos and threes, okay? And then one other thing I would just mention is that this, this time that I had with these brothers in college, it really set the tone for my whole Christian experience. And this was a good, very good experience to have in college because then, you know, let's say you're not going to be in college forever, right? Eventually you'll graduate. Maybe you'll go to the full-time training. You know, you're kind of forced to practice the twos and threes. You'll get grouped with a gospel partner. You know, you'll pray with them all the time. But then maybe you'll go, back to your locality. You'll just be in your church, you know, the day-to-day church life. Maybe you'll find yourself on a service and you realize, Lord, I can't take care of these young people. You know, I need to pray with the ones I'm serving with. You know, we need to be gathered in the twos and threes and pray for these young people, right? And so, and maybe that's also the case with your home meeting. You know, eventually, my wife and I, we were in Atlanta. We got to the point where we were like, we don't want to just show up to the home meeting, you know, anymore and just expect to receive, you know. We actually want to get built up with some saints. And in our home meeting, so we began to, again, practice the twos and threes, praying with the saints in our home meeting. Amen. So let's have, let's move on and let's have brothers on point C. Amen. Limited by the cross of Christ. Okay, so let's say you begin to pray to the Lord and the Lord puts, you know, one or two brothers on your heart to begin to pray with, but you quickly realize, okay, these brothers, not my natural preference, you know, not so easy to get along with these ones, okay? Well, that actually might be a salvation to you. Okay, because you realize this brother, he likes ice cream, but you know what? I really like Froyo. We don't have that much in common, you know. But you know what you do have in common? Christ. Hallelujah, right? So you can pray with the interceding Christ within you. You already have something in common, right? So this will be a salvation to you. And even as you endeavor to pray with this one, you know, of course, there'll be things that come up. And that'll just, you know, be a crossing out, right? And that'll kind of help deal with some of our peculiarities, with some of our individualism, you know. And this is a crossing out to us, and it's very much a salvation for us. The Lord is really able to operate when we're willing to be grouped with two or three others, okay? And then let's read all together point D. Amen. So, another point here is that when looking to be grouped, you know, we shouldn't always expect that this will be among our peers, you know, amongst those who are our own age. Actually, the Lord may group us with some who are much younger than us. The Lord may also group us with some who are much older than us, right? This is actually also very good. You know, I was appreciating yesterday the brothers brought out this verse in Ecclesiastes 4 about the threefold cord, not easily being broken, right? You can just imagine if you are grouped with someone younger than you, someone older than you, what do you have there? You have a threefold cord. These ones will not be easily broken. And the older ones will be able to help us, you know, go on in the Lord. They'll be able to render some spiritual help to us. The ones who are our own age, you know, we can obviously, we can relate very easily, right? So it'll be easy to open up to those ones our own age, and that's very good. There's definitely a benefit to that, but we may need to go to the older ones to receive the help. Then there also might be some younger ones, right, among us, and it's also very good to have younger ones in our group because then we're able to begin to shepherd them. We're able to render spiritual help to them, right? So even it's helping them going on, right? The older ones are helping us going on, and we're just all going on together, right? In our groups, and just as a sidebar here, it's very good that we would learn to be grouped, to be built up, and even to be able to coordinate with any member of the body, right? If this is our case, we'll be very useful to the Lord. The Lord will very much be able to use us, and we'll touch on this in later messages. But, you know, in the twos and threes, what are we doing? We're praying. Sometimes we need to pray for what's on the Lord's heart, right? That He would have a free way to move. And I kind of heard this third hand, but I just want to share it with you because I was very impressed with it. And that is, the story from when the Lord was moving to Russia, right? There were many who were burdened for the Lord's move in Russia, and He was sending many, right, to Russia. And of course, there was a lot of fellowship and prayer before, you know, these saints went. But there was one brother in particular, Brother Benson Phillips. You know, he was very much involved, and he, you know, there was some fellowship amongst the brothers before sending one to Russia. And Brother Benson, when fellowshipping, you know, concerning certain saints, he normally would just ask one question. And that question was, can they coordinate? Can they coordinate, right? Because you realize, if you can't coordinate, it's going to be very hard for the Lord to use you. You know, the Lord's not after individual Christians. He wants us to be grouped together, right? He wants us to move, operate within the body, right? So there's a need for us to learn, and it would be a help if we would learn now in our college years to be able to be grouped together with one another. Amen. Okay? So, anyways, I think my main burden or my main hope here in our beginning to practice is that we would first come to the Lord in prayer, and we would seek the Lord's feeling, right? And so I think I'll just end and kind of transition over to Robert here. But as we do that, let's all repeat this prayer in point 1A. So let's just make this our prayer to the Lord, right? So let's have sisters pray, and then brothers pray, and then let's pray all together. Ready, go.
Amen. What a good prayer. So are you all convinced, are we convinced, am I convinced that this way of the twos and threes is really God's way? Amen. Right? I felt like the brothers' fellowship yesterday was wonderful. And even this morning, I just am really full of appreciation for the mercy to see that what God wants is a body for Christ. Amen. And in order to have a body for Christ, He has to have people who can group together, who can be coordinated, who are saved from individualism. And so, now that we're seeing that this is God's way, what should be our response? If this is God's way, right, then what do we have to do? We just have to obey, right? We have to say, okay, Lord, this is your way. I see it in the Word. I just open myself. I just give myself to you. And then we have to pray that prayer you just prayed, right? Lord, do this. Group me. Make me groupable, right? I don't even know if I'm groupable yet, but I need to be grouped, right? Make me groupable. And then we need to be open to His sovereign arrangement. I really appreciated the fellowship here, is that a lot of times when we hear this, I know because I've been a young person, and maybe I'm still kind of young, but anyway, the point is, a lot of times when we hear something, before somebody is done telling you the very sentence, you already in your mind are off doing that thing, right? Right? This is how we are, you know? This is, the disciples are like this. Don't be discouraged, right? What they needed, and what we need, is to learn to do this one thing, is to stop and pray and say, okay, Lord, what would you do, right? What would you do? And we need to be open. We have a lot of concepts about who we can be grouped with, who we should be grouped with. What a mercy to drop those, right? I've heard of saints, they've been in localities, they've been praying for the longest time this prayer. And it's like, that's good, you should pray that prayer for a period of time. But after 9 months, a year, 2 years go by, if it hasn't happened, maybe you have a concept. You're not that open to like who the Lord put right here and right here, right? That's why I say make me groupable. But also, even being open to this thought, maybe my companion is someone older than me. How many of you here are in a home meeting? You're every week, you get together with a family in a home. Okay, this is wonderful. And if you are not, I would say, come out of this training and look for that. Find a way to get with the saints in their home. And if you're really open to it, how about that brother that's in that home meeting? Maybe it's his home. What about letting the Lord group you with him? It may be different than what you're used to. He may not know what Pokemon is, right? But anyway, if you spend some time, you can get to know this brother in a proper way and be blent together, and he can help you bring all your friends and all your family into the church life. Amen. How would you like to have Brother Vern in your home meeting? Amen. And you could bring all your friends. They would be at a big disadvantage, right? But if you could feel comfortable with Brother Vern, I'm just using him as an example, but with that brother, if you could feel comfortable, if you could pray with him, if how about once a week you and him had morning revival together? What if you met up once a week just to read the word? At first it may be awkward, but I'm telling you, if you do this week after week, eventually it's not awkward. Eventually it's sweet and it's wonderful, right? And then it's like you bring your friends and they can just taste it right away. It's like, y'all have something. This is great, right? I want to be here. You're comfortable, so I'm comfortable. And now I'm open, right? So what he has to say about the Bible, right? So you give yourself a big advantage if you're open to that thought, right? And then if you really want to be a pillar in the temple of God that goes out no more, right? Also be open to this thought that it could be a younger person. How about a high schooler in your locality, right? How about being open to let the Lord put you and him together in a proper way, or you and her, right? You could really shepherd that person. Right, and you could be a kind of a Brother Vern to that person, right? And help them with their high schooler friends, right? In the same way. So anyway, I just really appreciated this point about three levels of companionship. Okay, and so we're going to get into some more points here. And I want to build on what was shared in the last message about proper relationships, not being natural, but rather being through the head. And I want to give you a verse. I enjoy this verse so much. It's in 2 Corinthians. How about get there with me? And let's just look at it. It's really impressive when you put your own eyes on the verses, at least for me. Wasn't that good last night? To just take a tour of Ephesians 1 with Brother Vern and the triune God? Well, it's very good to just look at the word. So this is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. And this is the apostles here speaking. Especially Paul. So I'm gonna read it. Let's all just read it together. 2 Corinthians 5:16 when we get there. Okay, ready? Go. So then we, from now on, know no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him so no longer. So then, if, keep going, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. Isn't this a wonderful verse? They knew Christ according to the flesh. With their eyes they beheld, with their hands they handled. Right? But eventually, even the Lord Himself was, I don't want you to know me this way. He spent the first chapter of Acts training them to know Him in a different way, to know Him according to the Spirit. And that was Christ. So how should we know one another? Should we know them according to the old creation? How they were made naturally? If we do, I think that was a very helpful word from our brother, we could become damaging aspects, divisive aspects in the body of Christ. And a lot of times it doesn't start out with that as the intention. You know, it's well-meaning, but we just kind of fell in naturally together. And I like to use that word because natural relationships kind of naturally happen. It's just easy. It just doesn't take effort. I just get around these brothers because we like the same stuff, right? And pretty soon, that relationship can be honeyed. It can start to ferment. It can become something where everybody else in the church feels like, I'm not a part of that. It's like a clique, right? It's like they're the cool ones. Or maybe they're the handsome ones. I don't know. But can you see right away how spoiling that is to the body of Christ, right? So here's the scary thing is you don't have to try to do that. You just have to relax and just let things happen, right? I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to scare you, okay? The point here is that can happen unless we exercise, right? And so this is a training. But anyway, in our church life, we have to exercise all the time. I don't want to know someone according to the flesh. I want to know them according to the Spirit. So what is it to properly know someone? Let's get into this a little bit. Roman numeral 2. Can we read that together? We must... Being blended into one naturally, like I said, effortless. I mean, really, it's not actually to be blended into one, but a kind of oneness. This kind of oneness that we're talking about comes through fellowship and prayer. So do on your outline what I did on mine. Put a box around blended into one. The goal of the twos of threes, or a big, I wouldn't say it's the goal, but what needs to happen in the twos and threes is we need to be, say it with me, blended into one. Okay, through two means, and you can circle these, fellowship, through fellowship, blended into one through fellowship, and then blended into one, circle this one, through prayer, right? So this is the whole burden in this little section of the outline. What is fellowship? Well, A says fellowship is the basis of the blending. And I'll just read to you that verse there, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light, because He's in the light, okay, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Footnote there is precious. When we walk and live in the light of God, we have the joint enjoyment. Twos and threes has joint enjoyment of the triune God. And also they jointly participate in His divine purpose. So the fellowship of the divine life brings us into the divine light, and the divine light keeps us in the fellowship, that is in the joint enjoyment of God, the joint participation in His purpose. So anyway, this is another point. I think it will come out more this week. But doesn't it sound wonderful to be grouped in a proper way, to be built up? Don't you want that? Well, we'll see it more this week. The reason the Lord needs that, we need that, but actually, the reason for His doing that is so that we could bear fruit and so that we could build up the church. Anyway, I think this will be developed more this week. It'll be wonderful. I'd like to make some impression on you. Now, flip with me to 1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to read you a few verses, and we'll look at them together. And I think we can get some impression about how this happens. You can see the twos and the threes. You can see joint participation. You can see God's purpose all just in the first four verses. So, how this happens. All right, I'll just read through some of the verses here. 1 John 1, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Okay? That which was, this is mysterious, right? That which was from the beginning. What are we referring to here? Right? We're actually referring to Christ. Right? He was from the beginning. He's in the beginning, right? Okay. And the Apostle John, actually, together with other apostles, he says we, right? Which we have heard. Okay. That one, they began to hear him. They began to see him. They began to actually touch him, right? But what they were touching was not just flesh, although they really did touch it. But what they were touching is the word of life, right? So how did this companionship that we have, how did it begin? It began with Christ. It just began with Christ. These people may not even have known each other, but they ended up grouped together around the word of life, around Christ. So just to follow what the brothers have shared, a proper companionship starts with Christ. Starts with Christ. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Okay? That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that our joy may be made full. Okay, so just a couple of things in these verses that were impressive to me. First of all, it was the word of life that gripped them. And they began to have a lot of time together around that word of life, around that person, right? 3.5 years, actually, while he was with them physically, okay? And as they were spending that time together and around that person, what was happening to them? They were having fellowship. What is fellowship? They were jointly enjoying that person, right? That's what it was all about. They were enjoying that person, his words, what he had to say, watching what he had to do, right? And that was blending them together. Right? That was blending them together. Eventually, he even brought them into prayer, which is another point here. But I'd like to impress you that that had an issue. So this group of two or three, actually 12 more, but anyway, of course, among them twos and threes. Sidebar here, but you can have more than one, two, or three. Right, okay. So I used to think I could only have one. Everybody else, okay. But here they are around that person. Grouped together, enjoying him, fellowshipping. He's the basis of their being together. He's what they have in common. Okay. And eventually, what happened is they began to love that person to the uttermost. Whether they were able to do this or not, they had the thought, I will die for you. I'm willing to die for you. Like, think about what was produced in the heart of these people as they were just around him, just enjoying him and his words. They just gave up their job, their career, their future. They were willing to lay down their life. At least they had the heart for that, right? The capacity, no. But anyway, the heart. So eventually what happened was the Lord went through death, resurrection, and entered into them. So now they had the capacity to do things like that. But what impresses me is here, that fellowship, that made them so one with him. They were willing to die. But even more, they were willing to care for what it was he cared for, right? So that which we have seen and heard, we report to you. Here's twos and threes preaching the gospel. This is it. How many millions of people, right, will be with us in the New Jerusalem because they got around him and enjoyed him, they got blent together, they saw, they heard, and then they reported. Okay, so this is kind of a spiritual view here. But fellowship was the basis for the blending. And when we talk about fellowship, we have concepts. What does that mean? You know, we fellowship. Does that mean we go to the baseball game together? Right? Well, maybe in that situation, what we're grouped around is the baseball game. Right? When we're talking about fellowship, at least in an abstract sense, we're talking about getting around that person. Getting around Christ. Getting around His Word. Getting around the ministry. Getting around the meetings. Right? If we spend our time there, we will get blended. We will get blended. Okay. Read number one together. Fellowship is the basis for blending, and then number one.
In
So what I described earlier, once we hear the word, sometimes we're like, okay, here we go. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. You know, just do it, right? Okay, but here it says don't do that. Here it says, first thing is we need to know one another. Consider, I would think, oh, I found my companion. He's right here. Before the college training is over, we've already talked about it. We're going to go home and preach the gospel, right? So let's just say Fabrice and Randy stand up. These two, they're the two, right? So if you come to start preaching the gospel to me, like right now, what are you guys going to bring me into? Like, what do you have among you? Is there love there? Is there care? What kind of history is there? Is it pure? Can you see? Okay, you can sit down. So it could be that we're ready to preach the gospel, but you contact the person and they can tell right away, y'all don't even know each other. Well, anyway, we can still preach the gospel that way. But the prevailing way to gain people for the long term, right? Eventually, what God wants to do with those people is build them up together, right? We need to be built up together. So the first thing is we need to know one another, right? We might hardly know one another. So we need to know one another, but we need to know one another in a proper way, right? So it mentions these things, status. Like what is it to know about your status? What would you think that includes? What's your status? I'm an American citizen. I mean, it's true. It's part of your status. But think about it. It's like to know you in a proper way. Like, what do? Are you in school? Do you work? Like, do you live at home? Do you live in a dorm? Can you drive a car? I mean, just so many things. Like, there's a number of brothers that I'm around. None of them can drive a car. And it makes it very hard for us. We have to, like, coordinate in a different way, right? Something about your status. It can be something like that. Your school, your living situation, changes that are upcoming in your life. We need to know about that. If we're going to coordinate together, you got another one? Your major, things like this. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you live here and none of your family does. I mean, just all these kinds of things, they're relevant. We need to know one another. These are proper things. What about your present condition, your spiritual condition? Right? What does it mean to talk about that? Well, it might be good. It might be bad. I might be sick. I might be confused. Sometimes it's even hard to know what that is. But I do know this, as we spend time together around the Lord, you just develop a sense. This brother's kind of depressed. He's kind of discouraged. He's kind of anxious, right? And that helps you know a lot about that person, how to pray for them, how to be with them, how to encourage them. Maybe now's not the time to just yank him out on the gospel with me, right? He may not be ready for that. So we need to know each other's spiritual condition and our present situation in and with the Lord. What does that mean? What's your present situation in and with? It says in and with. Anyway, I just considered a couple of things is, where am I at with the Lord right now? Maybe I'm not in the meetings. Maybe I am, but I'm kind of not that into it, right? Maybe I haven't read the Bible. Maybe I'm not reading the Bible. Maybe I have no idea what morning revival is. Anyway, all of these kind of things. But if we know this about one another, then we can begin to pray according to our real situation, right? And then we can begin to actually coordinate together, realistically, you know? Anyway, this is just my understanding of these things. Probably there's more. But anyway, there's also some examples of how we could be wrongly and naturally know one another. And this is what happens easily. Maybe we have a common upbringing, you know? Oh, we grew up same place, went to the same school, played the same sports. Maybe we have some favorite music. I don't know, we like the same shoes. I don't know, like whatever. It could be anything. We have the same style. We just mesh together. All of these things, what would happen is they might just bring us into a very natural relationship. So we fellowshiped about this and we considered, actually, for many of us, growing up in the church, we're just first graders together. And we just played soccer together. And we played video games together. We weren't even regenerated. And we just knew each other according to the flesh, right? So now what? Right? Maybe you feel like that's all I got around me is natural relationships everywhere. I got no way to go on, right? Well, I would like to encourage you all. There's a way for every one of us to go on with the Lord and for the Lord to have a way in every relationship. And so I'll just refer back to the example earlier from Leviticus 2. Our brother shared about that meal offering, which is actually a type of the church life also. And no honey being in there, right? But there was another ingredient. So there might be honey in there, right? There's another ingredient that's very crucial in this meal offering, and that is salt. Salt. Salt is a type of the crucified Christ. The crucified Christ. And you can add Christ into the meal offering where you are, into your church life, into your companionships, right? What does it mean to add Christ? There's a lot of ways to add Christ into your relationships. To add Christ is to pray. What if you just decided with this brother, let's pray once a week? Actually, this is a great test to find out how natural your relationship is with someone else. How quickly can you and that brother turn to prayer? Right? A lot of times, as soon as you start trying to pray, have you had this experience? It's like there's sawdust in your mouth. It's just, I have nothing to say. We were just playing that video game together, and I need to go repent for a little bit, and then we can come back and pray. You might have that feeling, right? Sometimes this helps you know where you're at. But anyway, don't be discouraged, because little by little, if we just pick up this matter of adding Christ, add the word, add prayer, add some meetings together, add a morning revival appointment. If we do this, little by little, that will give the Lord a toehold. I like to use that word. I don't know if it's the best word, but a toehold. It gives him something in your relationship that he can pull on. And from there, he can start to reel the whole thing in, right? He can resurrect your relationships. We should pray for this. We should look to the Lord how to do this. Anyway, this is something. I hope this is helpful. The next thing here, point number two, as we open to one another, we need to be careful what we open to one another, what we open. We might have this kind of feeling, well, I'm going to get to know, and we might just be very careless and just tell all kinds of things, right? And a lot of those things are not that profitable, right? And I just wrote in my notes here, how good to let so many things concerning us. You know, Israel and I, we've gotten to know each other this summer, but there's a lot he doesn't know about me. And how good to just let all of that be under the blood of Jesus. Do you know God has forgotten it? I mean, that's the case, right? And so most of that can just be left there. Because God can forget, but your companion, not that easy, right? But there may be times when we need to learn how to open. You know, like what if I had, I'm just illustrating here, but what if I had a companion who says, you know what, I'm really burdened to go to the bars and preach the gospel to people, you know, in the bars, which I wouldn't recommend doing. But anyway, what if he does this? And I come from a background of something like this. I don't know if it's, maybe I have an alcohol problem. Maybe I did before. If any man is in Christ, praise the Lord, he's a new creation.
Amen.
All of that's under the blood, right? But this might be a scenario where it's like, well, I didn't want to have to tell this brother this, but maybe now I need to open that to him. Brother, this is an area I'm weak, and maybe I can't go do this. And he might, right away, full of mercy, you know, okay, oh, brother, I had no idea, you know. But I didn't need to open that, per se. But there may become a situation where you need to open that. So anyway, I just am trying to stoke this consciousness within us. We don't need to just recklessly open ourselves to others. We need to learn how to open ourselves to others in a proper way, with some discernment. And this is where it's great to be in a home meeting with Brother Vern. You could ask, Brother Vern, I'm in a companionship, and I need help how to fellowship. Right? Having some experienced saints around you. You know, me and my gospel partner are really struggling. We can't get along. You know, whatever it is. You could open and get a lot of help from these joints of supply. Anyway, I'm just trying to give us help here, some suggestion. Okay, number three, read that all together. Always feel that we miss one another. Not in a natural way, right? But there's something there that is like, I'm missing my right arm. My whole life is about the church and about these people that we're shepherding and taking care of. And all of my shepherding and taking care of these people, it needs my companion. And he's been gone for a week. And I just miss him. I almost can't live without him, right? But it's not in this kind of like gooey, sentimental way. You know what I mean? Like the honey kind of way. But it's like his going on, my going on. We're just, it's like your body. If you didn't have a leg, you would miss your leg. not in a gooey kind of way, but it's like you just can't, you can't do anything that you normally do, right? I hope that we get to this point that we're so involved with Christ and the church and shepherding people that we have this feeling, my companions, whom I'm serving with, they're my right arm, my left arm. Okay, the third point here, and I'm going to move kind of quickly here, this matter of prayer. Prayer brings us into one accord with the purpose of pursuing together and gaining others. Brings us into one accord. There's so much here in Acts. If you just go into chapter 1, I think it's verse 14, and you find one accord. You can look at footnotes. You can find cross-references. But what you'll find out is when the gospel went out in the most prevailing way, you'll find again and again this matter of one accord. One accord followed in the gospel going out. Philippians, a book on the experience of Christ, was altogether centered on the Philippians' fellowship with Paul unto the furtherance of the gospel. Footnote in that first chapter says that the Christ experiencing and enjoying life is a life that's in the preaching of the gospel, but together with others. So two sisters there in Philippi, they couldn't be one. It frustrated the gospel going out. It frustrated the experience of Christ, right? The furtherance of the gospel. Anyway, our one accord means everything. You together, how about read number one there? As we open to one another, we must
pray for each other and be brought into one accord. Without the one accord, the Lord cannot move among us.
This is in your excerpt. I'm going to read it to you anyway. The way to have an intimate and thorough fellowship, brothers and sisters, is to exercise our spirit. Whenever we speak something in fellowship, we need to exercise our spirit. That's a learning. Whenever we're speaking in fellowship, to pay attention to the sense within. I don't need to open that. That's too much. That's just my preference. Right? That's selfish. You'll have these feelings if you exercise your spirit. And you'll learn to be salted, to deny yourself. Okay. According to my observation, a number of saints have the teaching concerning exercising the spirit, but in practice, they do not have the reality. For the proper fellowship, we need to exercise our spirit with much and thorough prayer. The vital groups need us to fellowship concerning our status, all of these things, but with the exercise of our spirit. Okay, point number two. Read that. If you want to see this happen on your campus where you are, say amen, hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah.
So you need all of these points. You need to practice these things and be in them. So what can help us? Some practical points. Number three says, as companions being grouped together in twos and threes, we should come together to fellowship, sing, pray, pursue the truth, take care of new ones. Add salt, add salt, add salt, add salt. That's just what it is. You're just adding Christ through all of these ways. So, but how do we do this, right? We're all so busy. Well, we should take some time and consider how to pursue together practically based on our burden, based on our capacity, our schedule, where we're at, and our growth in life, right? Anyway, there's points here that are very practical. I want to try this. As a group with one other companion, we may decide on a regular time for prayer with another companion. So if you have practiced this, stand up. If you have, I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But if you have practiced this, let's just see. It's having a regular time of prayer. Okay. Look at who this is. All of these people can help you, right? Okay, let me just start here. Martins, how did it happen? How did it happen? How did that start?
A brother and I here in Athens, we just decided after one of the meetings that we need to start praying for something, and we started calling each other on Saturday night.
So you just talked to each other?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. What about you?
Another brother and I, we decided we needed to pray, and I think we wanted to pray for the younger brothers.
Wow.
And so we decided on a time that worked in our schedule.
Wow, wonderful. So y'all got touched.
Yeah.
And you looked at each other and you said, hey. How about you?
My brother and I used to drive to school together in the morning. We just realized we can use this time to be praying,
yeah.
And we can use this time to get something accomplished for the real building.
Amen. Raise your hand if you need a ride to school. Okay. Ricardo, how'd it happen?
Same as Nathan. He's my...
It happened with him.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Randy.
Same as Michael's.
Okay, so you can sit down here. This is one point. Sorry, sisters, I didn't. But anyway, I think our stories are the same, right? We should pray about this, but eventually we should just ask somebody. You should trust that the Lord is touching somebody around you and just endeavor and see where that goes with the Lord. What about finding a regular time to have morning revival together? Stand up if you've ever practiced that. Just you and another person, morning revival. Okay, Ryan, how did that happen?
Brother in my locality, when I graduated from the full-time training, I came back to serve, and we just began to call each other every morning. He would call me, actually, on his way to work, and we would just pray together every morning.
Here's my testimony. Okay, you can sit. Just look around. All these people can help you. Here's my testimony. I have a brother in my home meeting. Is another family and ours. We host a gathering every week, and this brother and I, we just decided let's pray together. You know, and I don't know. I guess he had been to the training. I had been to the training. We'd heard these things, so it was kind of like one of us was just waiting for somebody to just, and the other person says, okay. So we started doing this once a week, Friday morning, 7 a.m. Praise the Lord, and eventually there's a student in our home meeting. You know. And so the student wants to have morning revival, is hearing these things, but doesn't really know what to do. Do you ever have this experience where it's like if you call a brand new one to have morning revival and like they have never prayed or exercised their spirit, they don't know what prayer reading is, calling on the Lord might be awkward for them, right? It's kind of like hard to just all be one way on the phone. But with our situation, that person was Martin's. he was the new one in our home meeting. And he was loving the Lord, and he was open, but all these things were new to him, right, Martins? They were new. Pray reading the Word, how do you do that? He actually told me, he's like, I haven't really gotten into that. I don't know, like, what, I need help, basically. So I went to this other brother that I was on the phone with in my home meeting, and I was like, hey, listen, one of our students could use a lot of help here. He wants, but he needs training wheels, right? He needs training wheels. This is how I came in the church life. There's a couple brothers. They just called me, and they three-way called me, sometimes four-way called me. And sometimes I was on that phone call, and they were pray reading around, and I could kind of tell it was my turn. I didn't know what to say. So then another one just picked up, and they just kind of kept going like this, and they just kind of kept praying. And eventually I was like, I can repeat a word? And I was like, amen. And then they were like, wow, you know? And he's getting it, you know? But I have to tell you, I got it. I tasted something. It was like, oh, the Lord is here, you know. These brothers were my training wheels, right? And so this is what happened. And so Martins, he just joined me to pray together. Eventually it was like, well, how about 3 days a week? Oh, Lord, 7 a.m., 3 days a week is wonderful. It's wonderful. And eventually we've kind of been considering, is there somebody else, a third person, a newer one, that we could just be their training wheels, right? Anyway, I'm just trying to give you something practical here. You could practice this. Okay, this next point, and I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to read through and stop here. We can set a goal to read the Bible or a ministry book together. Just meet up with someone. Actually, don't leave it up to chance, especially if you feel like your relationship is natural. Make it clear. When we're getting together, we're reading. We're going to start. We're just going to pray and read, you know? And read the Word. Read a book together, right? Anyway, very profitable. Pick up the burden to contact others in the gospel, right, Fabrice? How about somebody just set a gospel appointment, right? He's done this. You can ask him what's going on with that. Anyway, it really helps. I'm not going to do it if it's just up to me. You know, I need Fabrice to call me, probably. Probably you do too. Anyway, twos and threes. And then the last point, shepherd and take care of new ones together corporately. Actually, as you begin enjoying the Lord like this, you'll have a lot. And you can contact high schoolers. You can serve with them. You can contact your classmates, your coworkers. You just have somebody who you and them are on the same page. It's about Christ. It's about the church. And he doesn't know it yet. But let's pray for them. And let's figure out how to roll away the veils. You can do this. You're not too young. We can all do this. Okay, so how about we do this? Let's read the focus together and let's spend the rest of our time. You all can respond, maybe share some experience, and we'll do that until lunchtime. So read the focus together. and I'll sit down. After prayerfully following the Lord, you talk. You tell them.
Okay. How about we have prayer, two by two, with your neighbor.